Fevzi Turkamp, the gadget detective, is here. Fevzi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Which is all very good, Fevzi. Now, the usual format is that we talk about a couple of news stories connected with technology this week, and then we unveil, for the aghast public's delectation, a couple of amazing, brand new, super cool gadgets. Does that work for you, Fevzi?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Good, I'm glad. There wasn't any other answer, actually. There was no other box to tick here. I just have to tell you that. All right. First of all, I think this is a first for me, too. I can't remember on these shows whenever I've talked about, I don't think I ever have Tinder in all the shows that we've done. Certainly not the ones on the BBC. According to the news this week, dating app Tinder will detect abusive messages and ask the writer to stop and think before sending them. This is a big step forward, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it reflects what Instagram and Twitter have already been doing. So they're using artificial intelligence to try and work out. They're not just looking for swear words. I mean, they're looking for things that might constitute bullying or harassment or generally what sort to be harmful messages. So they were already asking recipients of messages, do you find this message unpleasant, and inviting them to report it if they did. But this is trying to preemptively scan messages as they are being sent, or the attempt to send them is, and if the AI thinks that they are potentially harmful or abusive, then it will just ask you to reconsider. It's not actually going to stop you sending it. You can just reconsider. And what's interesting is, how does the AI know what's unpleasant? It looks at the messages that humans have been reporting and uses that as its template, which is kind of interesting, because if we are all, to use a vernacular, snowflakes, then the AI becomes a snowflake. If we are, rugged in our outlook, then the AI becomes similarly. So the AI becomes a reflection of us, potentially.
But it's not infallible, is it? I can't name the particular town, you may know it, but there's a town in the north of England that regularly gets flagged up because it's got a four-letter word, a nasty one, in its name.
Yes.
And that's an algorithm that I'm sure a lot of our listeners know exactly what I'm referring to. But, that's an algorithm that does that, and it does it wrong. So they're not infallible.
No, and to be fair, they're not actually blocking messages. So if the AI picks up something that it thinks is questionable, then it will just go back to the sender and say, are you sure you want to send this? It won't necessarily stop it. They think that they can, cut down these, inappropriate messages by a good few percent. And I think that's a good thing. And don't forget that the problem that all these social media websites have is that they are so large that there's no way they could employ enough human beings to intercede in these ways. They can barely deal with the complaints that are raised after the fact, but they'd never have the resources to prevent a message before it's sent. And so this is also the sort of technology that has to be used. Remember a while back, terrorists used a social media platform to live stream the terrorist attack. And once it was out there, it was copied and copied and copied and made available, and it wasn't possible to put the genie back in the bottle. So this sort of technology that can actually spot things as they're happening and have the potential at least to stop them is a good thing, and it must be done through AI, because the numbers are such that you can never employ enough people. Can you imagine if Twitter tried to employ enough people to read every message and approve it before it went on? It was just impossible. There's too many messages and not enough people. So the only way to do it is AI, and I applaud them for doing it. I don't know how tender of heart people that use Tinder are, I have to say. I mean, I notice it's called a dating website. That's interesting.
But what we're talking about, just as we move on from this, it's rather like those shops that put a cardboard policeman in the front window, isn't it? To try and deter shoplifting.
Well, I think it just makes people think again. And I think the other thing is that sometimes when people send inappropriate messages, often they're meant and knowingly inappropriate, but sometimes people maybe just haven't paid attention and may not have been aware that, their tone. I mean, Twitter and the like brings out the worst in people, I think. We can be far less pleasant on social media than in reality. So, I think it's a good thing. I think it can only do good as long as the algorithm works reasonably well.
Well, the ones that you send me go straight into spam these days, Fevzi.
I've noticed.
That's why you don't get replies. It's the end of an era, or possibly the end of an era lately. Internet Explorer is bidding farewell.
Yes, so Microsoft has finally announced that it's not going to include Internet Explorer in any new versions of Will anybody notice? Well, very few people use it now. I mean, it's definitely in the single figures. I mean, gone are the days when it was, you know, most people, about 90%, used to use Internet Explorer, and it actually fell foul of various competition bodies because it was integrated. It used to be an integral part of Windows.
And they were forced, weren't they, by a ruling to give you a choice of browser?
Yes, yes. And then and they were fined for not doing so. So they, in 2013, they got fined £484 million, so because they didn't promote other browsers within the Windows operating system sufficiently. So they were first forced to unintegrate it, and then they were fined as well. So and it's funny how these things go, because, you know, competition organizations, you would think, are doing the right thing by stopping monopolies, but I've noticed that sometimes when it happens that the companies sort of start failing. And one example of that is in the United States. You know, the companies that would have gone on and developed 5G technology for America, and America is notably lacking in suitable 5G technology, hence the big fuss about Huawei and all the rest of it. Those companies sort of fell away somewhat when they were either pulled apart or limited by competition organizations. So, you know, we can sometimes have unanticipated impacts by trying to stop companies from abusing their dominant market position. It's a very difficult thing to do, because sometimes you can weaken a company, you know, too much. I mean, although I believe that, you know, Facebook should be broken up, but these sorts of powers should be used with great care.
Now, just very quickly, what is Microsoft recommending in its product line that we use?
Oh, well, they've got Edge. So Microsoft Edge is the replacement. Mm-hmm. Edge has been around for a few years, and it was built from the problem with Internet Explorer was that it was around from a time. It was built at a time when security wasn't such a big deal, and then they were always trying to cobble bits onto it to make it secure. But because it wasn't in the initial design, it wasn't, you know, wasn't one of the design ethics or criteria, that it was always difficult. Whereas Edge was built from the ground up to be secure and to be fast. And I'm not saying it's the most secure or the fastest, but at least it was built with those criteria in mind at the outset. And I think that shows in the product that Microsoft Edge is now.
I get the prompts about it, but I always ignore them. I think I've only ever used it once. I think it's a rubbish name as well, to be honest with you. You don't get people saying, oh, I'm going to go and edge that. You know, do you?
Well,
you
don't, except, well, there is a, you know, rock guitarist called Edge, isn't there?
We can disagree.
Look, I think the problem is that Microsoft has sort of burned a lot of the goodwill that it had as a company because of what it's done to people with Windows 10. And I think a lot of people don't want to share any more information with Microsoft than they're already being forced to do so through Windows 10. And therefore, you know, there is a school of thought that says, well, you know, one of the other browsers, you know, Firefox, or even Google's Chrome, although that's another hornet's nest in terms of security. But
Opera.
Yeah, Opera, you see, Opera, I think, has got a more touchy-feely reputation. You know, Firefox is good in that way. Chrome is a very advanced browser, but, you know, owned and operated by Google, who's also has a business model predicated on you know, getting information. So,
but there are some applications that require you to use Chrome. The one that I'm speaking to you on now.
Yeah, no, I know.
Will only work on Chrome.
Yeah, and there are others as well. Yeah, so and that's the thing. And that's, I mean, what I do with Chrome is I install it when I really need to use it, and then I uninstall it. I don't just stop using it, I uninstall
But you're a tech guy, you've got time for this stuff. Okay, gadgets, otherwise we won't have enough time for them, and we've got to. We must. A super cool new wireless keyboard.
Yeah, so this is arguably the best keyboard I've ever used. In fact, I've used its forerunner for about 2 years. So it's from a company called Logitech. I still use something called the Logitech Craft keyboard. I've used it for a couple of years. It is by far the best keyboard I'd ever used, except...
I've got their squeeze box, you know, which is an internet radio, by the way,
I remember. Yeah, I remember. So this is called the Logitech MX Keys. That's Mother X-Ray Keys, MX Keys. And it's an advanced wireless keyboard. And, you know, keyboards don't sound very exciting, but considering, you know, the amount of time we spend at a keyboard in our lives, it's good to get them.
They're vital. I mean, the resistance of the keys, let me tell you, as one who suffered from repetitive strain injury, you know, for years and years, I had it before many people had it.
Yeah.
And for me, it was absolutely cripplingly agonizing for me. I had to have hospital treatment.
Yeah.
And some of that is down to the keyboard that you use. And some keyboards are more resistant and less resistant.
Yeah.
Ergonomically, if it works for you, you're going to have fewer problems.
So I love these keys. I mean, I actually stopped having to use, I mean, they do actually, there's an optional wrist rest that you can buy with this one. I think it's another tenner on top, but I haven't felt the need to use that. And the keys are great. So the keys have got a reasonable amount of travel. They're quite quiet. They're domed. In the key tops are domed, so they're like this. Imagine like a sphere has sat on the key, and it's got that sort of indentation in it. So it's your fingers find the right place. But it doesn't matter which part of the key you press; it always activates the key, even with the very long space bar. It's the same if you clip it on the edge or the middle or the top, or you know, wherever you touch it, the key works. Now, it's a wireless keyboard. You can either attach it to your computer using a Bluetooth low energy, or it comes with a supplied unifying USB dongle, which allows you to use the mouse and the keyboard with it. And the reason why that's particularly good is if, for example, your Bluetooth is not Bluetooth LE, or let's say you've got one of the Mac Minis where the Bluetooth is not known to be great, this can solve it, because you can just plug it in and it works perfectly. The other nice things about it is you can control up to three computers with this. It's got buttons 1, 2, and 3, and you can switch between three computers, and they can be a Windows computer, a Mac, it can be Linux, it can even use it with iOS from Apple or Android tablets or smartphones. So it's very versatile. So you just have one keyboard on your desk and you flip between them.
Sounds good. How many stars? How much?
4.5 stars, about £90. Not cheap, but the best made keyboard I've ever used.
It's a long-term investment in something that you use every day. That I'm selling it here at all. I have no interest in this.
I actually think it's a bargain. And you can even do this thing, if you've got the right mouse, you can cut and paste between a Mac and a PC, for example. I mean, you've got this sort of integrated flow approach.
Well,
it's meant for professionals, but actually, I just think, you know, treat yourself, because
it's an investment.
We spend too much time.
I mean, I say that as a man who's using an 11-pound keyboard that's very good, actually. Can't hear me. You know, that's the one that I use for most of my stuff. But that's a whole other story, and that's because I'm broke most of the time. Very quickly, lastly, an SSD drive, solid-state drive, but great one.
So no moving parts. This is from Western Digital, or WD. It's called the WD Black P50. Comes in a range of capacities from 0.5 terabyte all the way up to 4 terabytes. The design is very sort of rugged and sleek looking. It's designed primarily for gamers to use with consoles, so it can be used with all the modern consoles. And the reason why it's important is because modern games are huge in terms of the amount of space they take up. So this one can give you external storage, but is super fast. 2,000 megabytes per second, not megabits, megabytes per second. Okay, so that's the equivalent of 20 gigabits per second. So it's hugely fast. I mean, it does depend. I mean, modern consoles can support that, and some modern PCs do. Even if yours doesn't at the moment, you've got room to grow in it, and the device itself is not going to be...
That's amazing speed.
Yeah.
And if I try and copy the contents, which I had to do recently, of my hard drive, and I've got loads of podcasts and other stuff on it, you know, I might as well just sort of go away for 4 hours.
Yeah. So just to give you an idea, if you were to not use it for games, but use it for general storage, which you can, 1 terabyte, which is like not the smallest, but there's one up from the smallest that they do. So they do 0.5, 1, 2, and 4. 1 terabyte will store about 250,000 photos. It will store about 500 hours of HD video, or 6.5 million document pages, which is the equivalent of 1,300 filing cabinets.
God, that's a whole
cabinets.
Library. Okay, what's this thing called? How many stars and how much?
Okay, so it's from Western Digital. It's called the WD Black P50, And prices vary from about 120 quid up, depending on the capacity. 4 stars out of 5, an excellent super high speed external.
But it's lightning fast. Rather like my brain tonight. Yeah, yes. Right. Shane in Sydney, regular listener, has a question for you. And unfortunately, I don't have time for it, Shane. I'm sorry, because I'm under the gun time-wise, under the cosh, as they say, over the clock. So if Shane tweets you a question, Fevzy, like anybody else can, where would he go?
Yeah, just tweet to @gadgetdetective, and I'll be standing by immediately after this. So I'll try and deal with Shane's question now.
Tweet Fevzy, wish him a happy birthday, whatever you want to do. Fevzy, thank you. Have a good night.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Take it. Fevzy Tarkalpi is the Gadget Detective.